Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name is Heather Choate and I'm excited and grateful to be here with you. If you're watching me live, hello and welcome. So I want to thank you guys for coming back to the Thriving Marriage, the number one podcast about marriage in the world. And I just want to thank each and every one of you as we continue our mission to help thousands of couples create thriving marriages. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about three things to never say to your spouse and how to have communication that actually connects you rather than divides you further. And I want to make sure that you guys watch to the end because at the end, I'm going to give you our 24 proven conversation starters training, which is a $97 value, my gift to you. So you do not want to miss that. So make sure you stay to the end. So before we get to that, I'm going to share our client win of the week. And this one comes from Rian. Rian says, I found High Thrive at a point in myself where I had lost myself, was dealing with stress and pressure from elements of my extended family, and years of difficulties had done damage to my life and marriage. High Thrive courses, boot camps, and coaching helped me immeasurably. The most tangible impacts were personal insight into my life, which I felt so disconnected from. Taking charge of my own value and desires, which I had also lost. Really focusing on living my life by design, on purpose, rather than just bumbling along. Now, life still has its challenges, but I feel like I am the solid ground I was looking for. My marriage is in the best place it's ever been, and I am more myself and happy with who I am than I have been in years. Thank you so much for all you do and continue to do. And I love what she shares here so openly and honestly about losing yourself and all these difficulties that she was going through, right? And that she felt so disconnected from parts of her own self and her own life. And raise your hand if you've ever felt that yourself. I know that I have definitely gone through similar challenges and that you also feel like really lost. And now she says that she's living her life by design rather than just bumbling along, which is what this podcast and this business, High Thrive Coaching, is all about. That's what our method helps you do. So I love that. So great job, Rian, and keep up the good work. Awesome. All right. Now I asked you guys over in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group about what are the things that you've said to your spouse that you later on quickly regret. So as you're watching me live or watching the replay, leave a comment. Let me know what are some things that you've said to your spouse that you later on or maybe even immediately regret. And I was going through some of the answers that we got. And there was a wide range, like always, right? A lot of you are saying, oh, I could write a book. There are so many. I could go on and on about all of the regret that I have about things that I've said. And there's a lot of different things here. I see a lot of you saying that you regret saying I do, which made me really sad. And that you wish that you had never said till death do us part. And some of you, I think, are trying to be comedic because I understand things are challenging right now. But what we say here at High Thrive Coaching is divorce the pattern, not the person. Because the person here is not to blame your spouse, your husband, your wife is not to blame. You are not to blame. It's the pattern that you guys are in that is to blame. And when you change the pattern, the cycle of how you are doing life and doing marriage, then everything starts to change for you. All right. A lot of you are saying, I regret saying I hate you, that you regret saying I'm not the one with the problem here, that you regret saying you're the one that needs to change. One of you talked about how you wished that he was dead after you found out that he was having a deep emotional affair. And later that week, he actually tried to take his life and how that was something that you deeply regretted saying. Some of you regret reminding that, you know, everything about your marriage vows and all of the pushing to try to get them to work on things. And you're realizing that that just does not work. So some of you have been following us for a while and you know our PATH method and what pushes your spouse away more and what actually draws them closer to you. Some of you talk about how everything that you say hurts him, right? Or her, they're just so fragile and that nothing you seem to say or do is right. Yeah. Do you guys relate to that? I know I've been there myself. And we talk a lot about that, that when your spouse is pulling away or they're wanting a divorce, then sometimes they look at you and the marriage through a very negative lens. And they have a story or a narrative about you and the marriage that is justifying their reasons in wanting out. And they can oftentimes negatively interpret a lot of the things that we say or do, even when we're meaning really well. So what do we want to do about that? Okay. So have you ever thought that you're saying to your spouse exactly what they wanted to hear, but maybe you were just completely wrong, right? Or maybe you knew that what you were saying wasn't right, but you said it anyway. Oh, now I want to be really mindful as we go into this discussion together in this podcast, because this is not intended to be a guilt trip or to bring you down further into guilt or shame, because those emotions are not going to serve you in moving forward. And so if you've made some of these mistakes, if you've said things that you've regretted, we all have done that. So give yourself some grace as we go into this, that yeah, we've made some mistakes and we can't go back and change the past. We can't grab those words and stuff them back into our voice and to our throat, right? They came out and now we have to deal with the consequences of those things. But rather than be brought down by them and allow them to continue or to continue making mistakes and maybe not even realizing that what we're doing is backfiring, let's learn from this. Let's learn how to communicate. Again, if you've been following us for any time, you know that we talk a lot about how if your marriage is struggling right now, if your partner negatively interprets things that you say or do, if you guys have a lot of tension and things are really challenging right now, it's really not your fault. Yes, we do have our accountability and our responsibility. I'm not denying that. But basically, what I believe and what I've seen after working with tens of thousands of couples, right, is that society has really programmed us to fail. Why do I say that? Well, we know over 50% of marriages are ending in divorce. And I talked about this last week, you guys, you heard me say this, that of those that stay married, only 8% report actually being happy. So only 8% of couples out there are actually happy, which means the majority of relationships are subpar at best or failing at worst, right? And whose fault is that? Society is not teaching us how to communicate. It's not teaching us how to do marriage. It's not teaching us how to have loving, healthy, functional relationships, all right? So because you haven't known these things up until now, again, give yourself some grace. Because now you can start to learn these things and you can start to do some new things in some new ways and you're going to get some new results. Who here wants that? I know I do. And I was caught in a lot of these patterns and unhealthy communication patterns and unhealthy cycles and, you know, conditioning from culture and the way that my parents modeled how to do relationships and how to talk about problems and how to handle lies and betrayal and all those things, right? And so just give yourself some grace and your partner some grace. More often than not, you're truly doing the best that you know how to do in the moment. And yeah, we sometimes know when we've said something really wrong and it just kind of comes out of us. And so what we want to do is help shift those patterns of emotional reactions, right? Where we just say the wrong thing and we just say it because we're so mad or we're so in fear. We're so angry, we're so hurt that it just comes out of us and does so much more damage, right? So how to process through those emotions so that we can create communication that actually connects us rather than divides us further. All right, so I'm going to go into these three things that you should never say to your spouse, and we're going to dive right in. So the first one is, you are wrong, I am right, okay? So think about a time when you may have said this to your spouse, you are wrong. You got that wrong. No, I didn't ever do that. You're wrong. The way you see this is wrong. Your affair is wrong. I am right. right? And so when we try to win a conversation by proving that we are right and the other person is wrong, then we get into a bit of a trap here. And so many people are more concerned with winning an argument rather than trying to resolve it. All right. So if we look at the motivation behind this, what it really boils down to is people want to feel understood and as though their concern can be resolved. So let's take an example of this for a minute. Let's take a husband and a wife, and maybe they're arguing over how to parent their children. I can relate to that, right? Almost every couple out there with children has probably had some disagreement about how to parent those children at some point or another, right? So maybe on the one side, the husband believes that a more firm enforcement of the rules are needed, while the wife believes the children should be given some leniency. Both stand firm in their stances because they believe that they have the right way to do things. So in this example, both husband and wife are trying to solve a problem, right? Their children's behavior, how they're grown up, the kind of values that they grow up with. But it only escalates as neither feel like the other is budging and a solution seems further and further away. Sound familiar? So you can apply this same example here to anything else where you're just digging your heels in and you're saying, no, you are wrong. I am right. You need to change. You need to fix this. And I do not, because I am right here, right? What happens is that neither of you feel like the other understands their stance, right? After all, if they did believe the other person, then you guys would be agreeing, right? So the way out of this kind of communication isn't to win the argument, okay? Even if you win the argument, at what cost does it come? Often the cost is the connection, the trust, the intimacy, the vulnerability, the sense of love and empathy and compassion and understanding, respect. That's really the cost if you do win the argument. So in my opinion, no one wins because the relationship is left damaged and your spouse now puts up barriers against you and does not want to be vulnerable with you and only increases tension and does more damage. And so this is in a way how some of those little micro tears, little bits of micro damage can cause some macro damage if not addressed in the long term. So when things are heated, you could use all the logic you want and it still isn't going to sway anyone, right? They're only going to dig their heels in further. You're only going to dig your heels in further and it becomes you against them. Me against my husband or my wife. My husband or my wife against me. So instead, we want to approach the argument with understanding. Understanding is the antithesis of judgment, blame, trying to be proving that you're right, okay? So when you try and win conversations, the result is that the losing partner feels like their opinion isn't valued, right? You don't value their opinion. Winning arguments creates more disconnection and discord, and it becomes all the more likely that the next time there's an argument, the losing partner will try all the harder to quote unquote win. It becomes a negative cycle. Do you guys agree? Have you seen this pattern or this cycle appear in your marriage? Okay. And if so, then let's change that pattern because the pattern is the problem. We want to divorce the pattern, not the person. So what we want to do instead is have compassion and understanding for your spouse's point of view. All right. So far too often, again, we see like people get stuck in this idea that people and their views are all right or they're all wrong. It's like black or white. And the truth is that most people come to where they are with some thought. Like they usually don't just randomly choose the stances that they take in life. They have a reason why they feel that way and why it matters so much to them, why they value that so deeply. Viewpoints are rarely absolute. And because of this, when someone feels unheard, misunderstood, or generally ignored, it tends to rile them up. Right? Become defensive. So instead, what you're going to do is actually try to understand your spouse's point of view, even if you don't agree with it, even if you feel like you're 99.99999% sure they're wrong, right? And that you are 99.99999% right. Agreed? So what we want to do is you know, you should try to rationalize and understand how they probably came to their conclusion. Put yourself in their shoes, right? That's what we've been heard, but how many of us are actually even doing it? And that helps develop understanding and usually demonstrates some amount of empathy. So what we want to do here is, instead of it being me against my husband or wife and my husband and wife against me, let's get on the same side of the table here. And it's us against this issue. Let's work together as a team. So we're on the same side of the table, us against this issue. Make sense? So here's an example of a really good question. So this is something that you can ask your spouse to try to see what it's really like for them, how they came to where they are, why they have the story about you that they do, or life in general. So what is it that like when blank? So what is it like when, ask about a struggle they might be having. Say they have a struggle with their teenage son, right? Your teenage son. And you can say, what is it like when Timmy totally disrespects you and takes the car and goes out with his friends anyway? What is that like when he does that? Or if they're complaining about you and they're unhappy with you, what is it like when you've asked me to stop talking about the marriage, but I keep pressing the issue, right? What is it like when, so in ask about the struggle that they might be having and see what it really is like for them. Okay. Now, my husband and I, we have some patterns too, just like every couple, right? And when I feel like I'm so right and he's so wrong, I've developed a sense of deep humility, because when I've dug my heels in really hard and just thought I was so right, I've almost always learned that what I felt like I was so right in wasn't actually what was going on at all. All right. And when I actually see where he was coming from and why he did what he did, then I realized that, yeah, my judgment or my assumption about why he was doing what he was doing wasn't really accurate. And that brings us to the second one here, which is judgment and blame. I blame you for my pain. It's your fault. This is all your fault. Where our marriage is right now is your fault. You are to blame. And you meant to hurt me. Does that sound familiar? Have you felt any of those? Have you said any of those? Again, if you have, give yourself some grace, some compassion, because we all make mistakes. All right. But what we want to do is learn from those so that they don't repeat themselves. Change the pattern, not the person. Right. So judgment. You meant to hurt me. Let's start with that one. You meant to hurt me. You did that just to get back at me. You knew how to push my buttons and you're pushing every one of them. You threw that in my face because you knew it would hurt me the most. You brought up that past thing that I did. You brought up these past things that, you know, you said you forgave me for, and you're bringing up now just to get back at me and hurt me, right? So this judgment there, if you meant to hurt me, what we want to do is focus on their intention and not our interpretation. Make sense? So when a relationship begins to become unhealthy, it's all too easy for negative interpretations to creep into the picture. All right. I see this happen a lot. In fact, I would say almost 100% of the time, okay, when people come to us and they're wanting to work on their marriage, that they have a negative view about their spouse. Their spouse has a negative view about them. And it's easy to look through the lens of that perspective. We call that the story. And you guys know how important it is to help your partner let their story go about you so that they want to come back to you. And unless you do that, then they most likely will not come back. So what I want you to do, though, is focus here on your control and what you have power over, which is the way that you may be negatively interpreting things that they are doing, because this goes both ways. Okay. So let's focus on you for a minute. It usually shows itself when we start to see evil intent in our partner's actions. Perhaps you think they're trying to make you upset, or maybe they know exactly what they are doing to hurt you. In reality, these negative interpretations are actually only very rarely true. I think it would astound you if you realized that at the heart of what they were doing was never truly to hurt you. It may be to manipulate, but never to hurt, because most people don't try to hurt others. And if they are, it's usually because they themselves are hurting. We become a little bit animalistic, right? You hurt me and I'm going to act like a wild cat. I'm going to lash out you with my claws and my fangs and I'm going to get you back. Why? Because I'm scared. I'm scared and I need to defend myself here because this doesn't feel safe. It's a very animalistic thing to do. We are animals, right? We're humans. We're also part of the animal family. And so we have this gift, though, that we don't just have to react out of that anger and that pain and that fear, that we get to choose how we respond. And we have higher reasoning faculties than most of our, you know, animal kindreds, that we get to choose how we're going to respond to the situation, that we don't just have to act out of instinct. So the tip here then is to focus on what your partner's intentions are rather than our own interpretation. So in other words, imagine how they explain their own actions. What would be the reason why they're doing what they're doing in their own mind? Okay, think about that. Turn it around to see how they would explain their own actions. And here's the kicker, okay? Oftentimes, you know, our spouse has this negative view about us, and sometimes we know that it's really not true, or sometimes we know that it is true, or sometimes we know that it's a mix of both. But the bottom line is that to them, it is true. They feel this way for a reason. And you feel the way you feel for a reason. And you can never argue or try to prove that the way that anyone feels isn't right. Because to them, it is right. To the way you feel, it is the way you feel. And so what we want to do is see why they're feeling the way they're feeling. Because there's probably really good reasons why they're feeling what they're feeling and why they're doing what they're doing. So here's a couple of examples here. So let's say that your spouse spends too much money and you're just thinking, oh, well, they're really careless. You know, they're not really thinking through. They're not thinking about the future. They're just too spontaneous. They're too impulsive. They're an impulsive shopper, right? And does that mean that, you know, does it mean that that's really true? That that's what's going on for them, that they're careless, they're impulsive, that they're a spontaneous shopper? Or does it maybe mean that they're seeking comfort in some way? Maybe they're seeking to reduce some levels of stress. Maybe they're seeking a level of control in their life because they don't feel a lot of control in their life. Okay? You can take that again, apply it to any other action that your spouse might be doing. Some examples here. So maybe if they're talking with someone of the opposite sex, right? Maybe a coworker, and you're interpreting it as they are being unfaithful. And just because they're talking with someone of the opposite sex, does that mean that they are unfaithful? Does it mean that they care more about that person than you? Or is that the way that you're interpreting a situation without understanding where your partner's intentions really are? If they're working too many hours, does that mean that they don't care to be with you or the family? All right, I've had this one myself, right? Or coming home and talking on the phone rather than giving me a hug and kiss when he first comes through the door means that he cares more about his family and talking to his brothers than he does about me. My own negative interpretation about what he was doing. Or does it mean that they're trying to be friendly, that they're trying to show care for their coworkers or their family if they're talking to them on the phone, right? Or does that mean that they're actually trying to provide well for you and the family? Does it mean that they're trying to give you the life that they want to be able to give you, right? And they think that that's what you want as well. Oftentimes I'm working with, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners and CEOs and high-level executives, and they feel like they did everything for their family by working to build up this business or to, you know, climb the corporate ladder and get to this level of success so that they could provide well for their family. They thought all along it was what was expected of them and needed of them and wanted of them. And they thought that they were doing their best to provide for their family. And they did not interpret it as I'm neglecting you or that you don't matter to me. Right? So we need to be really careful about how we may be interpreting the actions of our spouse and why they're doing what they're doing. Does it really mean that they're having an affair to hurt you? Or could it be possible that for them, they have been feeling neglected? They have been feeling unheard, unappreciated, unemotionally connected, and they're seeking to get a need met. Now, that doesn't mean we're justifying what they're doing or saying that it's right, But when we can understand why they're doing what they're doing, then that helps bring down those barriers and those walls between you so that you can actually understand what you are both wanting here. Okay. So if you're unsure why your spouse is doing what they're doing or what their intentions are, ask them. They probably have a perfectly good reason for doing what they're doing. And in their mind, it isn't to hurt you or to get back at you or to make you angry. It's because they themselves have been hurting or they're seeking to get needs met in some way. So it simply helps to focus on what they're intending to do. Otherwise, you create disconnection and discord. Your partner's going to feel judged. And what happens is that you grow further apart. All right. And so I understand that this can be really challenging because oftentimes when we feel hurt, we get defensive. Remember, animal brain, right? We want to go in and attack. We want to see everything through the lens of it's all their fault and they're trying to hurt me. And so I've got to do what I need to do to protect myself. I'm not saying that there isn't a level of healthy boundaries, but that's done in a very different mind frame and a different state than just simply accusing them of hurting you, right? And so what we want to do is make sure that we understand where they're really coming from and what reasons are that they're doing what they're doing. And again, I think it would absolutely astound you, my friends, if you were to realize that at the heart of what they're really wanting, it all, when you strip away all the bad things that they're doing or all the unhealthy, dysfunctional things, all the hurtful things, and all the things that are just absolutely maybe ripping your family to shreds right now and ripping your heart to shreds. When you get behind all of that, you realize that each of us have a very few common core emotional needs. There's basically six common emotional needs. We want to feel secure. We want to feel loved. We want to feel appreciated. We want to feel respected. We want to feel important. We want to feel significant. Important, significant, kind of the same thing, right? And so your spouse is wanting those same things and you are wanting those same things. And when you can strip away all of the pattern and the symptoms that are causing to be shown up here that are very painful that this pattern has gotten you guys into, then you realize you actually want the same things. And that is where in our coaching, we help you understand what those core motives are and those core common goals are. So then you can work together as a team on how to get those needs met together. All right. Now let's go a little bit deeper into I blame you for my pain. This is all your fault. Okay. I'm going to take a deep breath with this one. I blame you for my pain. This is all your fault. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever said that? So blaming our spouse for our own emotions puts us directly into the victim role of the drama triangle. Do you guys remember the drama triangle? We talked about this in a podcast several months ago. If you haven't heard it yet, I encourage you to do it. I believe it's called How to Reduce Drama and Tension in Your Marriage. The drama triangle consists of the hero, right? The one that saves the day, the one that makes everything right, the one that saves the marriage and works on everything and tries to get everyone happy, right? And to save the victim from the persecutor. The persecutor or the villain is the one that's saying, this is not right. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to take away your choice here so that it's right. And they persecute the victim usually. And the victim is the one that says, it's not my fault. I'm not to blame here. Everyone else is to blame. Someone else needs to save me. I can't do this. And oh, poor me, right? So that's the drama triangle in a 30-second bite-sized clip here. So what happens when we blame our spouse for our own emotions is it puts us directly into that victim role of the drama triangle. And what happens is it robs us of our power, of our own responsibility, and our choice. Okay, which is a pretty heavy price to pay. All right. So it's saying that this other person, you know, my spouse has all control over me. They control me. They have control how I think. They have control over how I act. They have control over how I feel. And it's basically saying, you know, I need you to change so that I can be happy. Sound familiar? I need you to change so that I can feel secure here. I need you to end the affair so that I can feel better about our relationship and important and significant to you, right? And what this does is it leads to misery. It leads to misery. So what we want to do instead is first, let's take responsibility for our part, because the bottom line is that it's not 100% all their fault, right? Ask yourself, is this 100% my spouse's fault? And I truly have nothing to do with the way that our marriage is right now or the situation. That's never really the case, right? This is a marriage, it's a partnership, and it does have two people involved. And so you do have a certain level of responsibility here in what is being created in your marriage. To say anything else would mean it's not a partnership, it's not a marriage, right? And so take responsibility for your part. If your spouse is saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, look back and say, okay, yeah, maybe over the past several years, I've been a little emotionally disconnected. Maybe I got into patterns of withdrawal and I felt hurt. And instead of opening up and working through that hurt, I just kind of closed up and I kind of pushed my partner away in a little bit. And then I pushed them away a little bit more and then a little bit more. And when they were trying to initiate things, then I just kind of rejected them because I felt rejected and I didn't want to feel rejected. And we got into a cycle there of withdrawal because we didn't want to be rejected. So I pulled away from them and then they pulled away from me and then I pulled away from them here and then they pulled away from me. And so now they're saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I can take responsibility for my part in that pattern that's led us to where we are. Okay. Whatever the example is for you, where is your responsibility in this? And make sure that you don't let someone else's actions determine your emotions or your well-being. All right. And so anytime that we are letting someone else's actions determine our emotions or our well-being, we've completely zapped ourselves of all power. And we can get into some very dark and unhealthy, dysfunctional places. No one else should ever have the power to rob you of your own choice about how you feel. Now, I love the story of Nelson Mandela, right? He was in prison and he was beaten and tortured and never thought he would ever be free, right? For years and years and years. And he realized that the one thing that they could never take away from him was his own mind and his own choice of thought and emotion, the way that he was going to handle this challenge. That was the one thing that they could never break out of him. That was the one thing he actually was, that's all he had control over. And that is so true of each of us. It is the one thing that we have absolute control over. And so do not give your power of choice to someone or something else. So many times, I think we don't even realize how much we are looking to external circumstances and external things to make us feel a certain way, right? We think about, oh, the government needs to change, or this politician needs to change, or COVID needs to change, or whatever, right? Those people need to change, or my husband or my wife needs to change, or I need to get to this certain level in order to be happy. I need my finances to change. I need my health or my body to change. I need my kids to change or something. I need my job to change. I need my boss to change. I could go on and on and on, right? If only that thing would change, then I'll be happy. And what you're doing, and what I've done this too, right, is we're robbing ourselves of happiness right now. We're robbing ourselves of peace right now. We're robbing ourselves of opportunity to create a life by design. And that's a heavy price to pay. And so many of us are doing that. And this is the shift that I love when our clients make this shift. It no longer becomes making my spouse come back to me, making them save this marriage for me, making anyone or anything change. It's saying, I'm okay no matter what happens. I'm okay. And I talk about the rock in the storm, but it's just what speaks to my soul. You become a rock in a storm and you cannot be moved no matter what happens. My friends, personally, I have gone through some absolute hellish circumstances the past 2 weeks. found out deep levels of betrayal by people that we trusted. Some of you may have seen our public statement about that. I'm not going to go into it right now, but that is a hellish circumstance to look at when there has been deep damage done, deep levels of betrayal, deep levels of lies and deceit from people that you trusted, that you thought you were working together as a team on to help people and to do good. And meanwhile, you thought they were by your side and you found out that the whole time they were taking advantage of you and hurting people along the way and they didn't care. Well, that's my interpretation. I got to check myself on that one too. I got to be careful about how I'm looking at their intentions. In their mind, they may have justified what they did. So, humbling lesson for me right now as I'm sharing this live with you. See, even myself, I can get caught in the trap of they didn't care and thinking about why they did what they did, right? And so I'm applying this to myself right now. And I hope that you guys can give me some grace as I'm still learning and growing too, because it is. We get hurt and we go into that. It's them and they're wrong. And how could they do this to me? And even in those moments, my friends, I have learned that I can even look and put myself in their shoes, that they must have been in a really dark, sad place to justify what they did and to hurt so many people and to do so much damage. They must have been in a really sad place. And Christ himself, who did he hang amongst as he was being crucified? Two thieves, and he forgave them, right? And so I think about that and I think about how can I even choose to have empathy? And how can I choose to, yes, not just deny that this hurts and not deny that there's anger and deny that there's pain and deny that there's just a lot of hurt there, right? I'm not going to deny that. I'm going to feel it and I'm going to move through it, but I am not going to let it rule me. And I'm not going to get stuck into a place where I distrust people for the rest of my life and let this crush us and crush me personally, right? I'm going to learn how to expand in the face of adversity, to become a bigger person that overcomes this challenge, right? It's not just going through something, because if you go through something, you really haven't become a better person. You really haven't learned anything from it. We can all go through things. I'm going through a really hard time. I'm going through a divorce, right? No, I'm overcoming. I'm becoming a bigger person than this challenge. I'm becoming a bigger person than what they chose to do. I'm becoming a bigger person than my own fear and my own animalistic emotions that are coming up here. I can choose to live my life with serenity, with peace, with empowerment, with compassion, with forgiveness, with love. And that is when I take back my power. And that is when I become who I'm meant to be. And I find peace in the midst of a whirlwind. I find peace in the midst of a hurricane. I find peace in the midst of an earthquake. I find peace in the midst of a pandemic. I find peace in the midst of a divorce. I find my own personal peace and my own personal power. So we learn to process through these emotions and through these things, and we learn to respond as we choose to. How am I going to show up in the face of this adversity? How am I going to show up in the midst of these challenges? Who do I really want to be? And how do I want to look back at this time in my life when I thought everything fell apart and these people did some really sad things and it really hurt my family and my partner's family and so many children that were involved in this, right? And you look at your life and your children and the legacy that you're going to leave. How do you want to look back at this time at the end of your life? Who do you want to be? And do you want to know that you grew because of these challenges, that your heart expanded like the Grinch, right? Your heart grew 3 sizes through that process. And oh my goodness, it was so worth it. And we can even be grateful for those challenges. And we can even be grateful for the people that may have hurt us or done wrong by us because they helped us become a little bit more who we're meant to be. All right, now let's go to the third one. Third thing to never say to your spouse. And again, we've probably all said this, maybe not, but if you have, give yourself some grace and some compassion and apply what we're going to talk about with this third one. Third thing to never say to your spouse, I will never forgive you. Things like this, I will never forgive you. I hate you. I wish you would die. We all know that those things are heavy and they're hard. And sometimes we say them because we are hurting so much and because we don't know how to say that we're hurting any other way. we don't know how to say, this hurt me so, so deeply, right? So we say these things, I'll never forgive you. I hate you. I wish you would die. What happens here though, as we know, when we say those things, it only does more damage. Instead of speaking authentically to how I'm really feeling, I am so hurt right now. I am so angry. I am so disappointed. I am so scared. We say these things as a deflection to try to lash out and help them see that how much we're hurting without really expressing vulnerably how much we may be hurting in this situation. And as you know, if we say these things, our partner is, if they're saying, you know, if they're hearing from us, I'm never going to forgive you. I hate you. I wish you would die. I'm never going to forgive you. Your partner is going to see that situation as hopeless. Why would they keep working if you're never going to let it go? Why would they keep working on this if you're always going to just hate them? Why would they keep working on this if you wish that you'd never been married to them, or you wish that they would die, or wish that, you know, some evil would come upon them, right? Why keep trying if I can't make it right? And so if you're wanting your spouse to keep trying and wanting them to work on this with you and wanting them to come back, then of course, you're going to want them to see the hope and the possibility of that happening. And any of those things are going to make the situation seem hopeless and push them away further, right? They're going to feel like there's nothing they can do here. They'll never make you happy. And so why keep trying? Again, if we choose to not forgive someone, there is that saying that resentment is like drinking poison and thinking or wishing that the other person's going to die. And you're the only one that actually dies here. A part of your soul will die. And this is coming from myself that held on to resentment for, 18 years-ish? 18 years of holding on to resentment, trying to forgive, knowing I should let it go, knowing I should be a better person, that it would just be compassionate and forgive, but still not knowing how, and holding that resentment inside myself at a low level where I could barely even feel it, but it was still there. It was still showing up. It was still creating patterns. These limiting beliefs kept showing up and causing more pain and more dysfunction. And it wasn't me, and it wasn't that person. It was the pattern. It was choosing not to forgive. And so their actions will only continue to harm you as long as you continue to hold on to them. Another question to consider here is, do you desire forgiveness from others? Do you desire that your partner will forgive you for the wrong things that you've said, the things that you regret, the wrong things you've done, how you have hurt them? Do you desire that your children, your family, your friends, your coworkers, right? Do you desire that they forgive you for the things that you have done? If you desire forgiveness for yourself, then who are we to deny forgiveness to another person? I desire for forgiveness. I have made mistakes. I have hurt people. I have wounded deeply to the point where I'm like, I don't even know if I can be forgiven. But if I desire for forgiveness for myself, if I desire for mercy, if I desire for healing, if I desire for a new chance to become better and to be able to move forward from what I did, then how could I deny that to another person? I personally never could, because then I know that I'm not just damning them and condemning them. I'm damning myself, and I'm condemning myself, and I'm locking myself in a very small prison of agony. And I don't believe any human being deserves that. Even myself, with the things I've done and how hard it's been to deal with that and face that and the pain of guilt and regret, I know that if I deserve forgiveness, so does anyone else. And it is all there for us. It's a gift that we give ourselves and other people. So if any part of your soul is saying, I need to protect myself, then protect yourself in healthy ways. But don't do it by saying, I'm never going to forgive you, because you're not protecting yourself anymore. You are truly trapping yourself. And that's not what we want. All right. So my friends, I hope that this has been of service to you. I didn't even go into some of the other things that really we should not be saying to our spouses, but it goes right along with anything that is demanding that they work on the marriage with us if they're not willing to. any demands really push our spouse further away and we don't become a team. So I need you to work on the marriage. I need you to change. I need you to go to therapy. I need you to end the affair, right? Going into pleading, desperation, please don't go. Please come back to me. Please give me another chance, right? All of those things we know do what? That's right. Push our spouse further away. And of course, any form of manipulation. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to go sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. Any of those things are going to be the things that are going to absolutely backfire. So let's learn how to step out of the pain and the fear and the agony and the hurt and move through those emotions to a place where we find our power and we choose how we're going to respond to this. We choose what kind of person we want to be. We choose what kind of relationship we want to create. I'm going to go for a minute back up to our client win of the week because she said it so beautifully. She said, I'm really focusing on living my life by design, on purpose, rather than just bumbling along. Life still has its challenges, but I feel like I am on the solid ground I was looking for. And that is worth everything. My friends, challenges are going to continue to come for all of us, right? If anyone's selling you anything else, they are lying, right? Challenges come to all of us. It's what we choose to do about them and how we choose to find a place of peace and empowerment. No matter what happens, we know that we are going to be okay. My friend, no matter what happens to you, know that no matter what it is, you are going to be okay if you choose to. All right. So comment the word starters. Comment starters in the chat, in the comments here, if you want our 24 proven conversation starters training, okay? This is a $97 training guide, and it's my gift to you. It is powerful. It is beautiful, and we've never given it away like this before. So if you want that guide, just comment the word starters. In the guide, we're going to show you what to do when your spouse won't talk to you about your relationship, and if they don't even want to continue the relationship, how to talk to them about that, how to deal with lies from your spouse, how to address it when you know that they're lying right to your face, right in that very breath, okay? The three common things that you may be doing right now that are unintentionally pushing your spouse away more, how to stop the pattern of criticizing and actually work together to get what you want done, to get those needs met in healthy ways, how to de-escalate an argument in less than 30 seconds, and how to open up communication, when they're pulling away or they're closed off, okay? That's just a little tip of the iceberg about what you get in this powerful guide. So comment the word starters if you want it, and I will send it to you right away. There's no opt-in, no charge, nothing weird. I will literally just give you the PDF, okay? So you can use it right away in your marriage. And I hope that it is great service to you. Now, time for our marriage myth buster. All right. So this one is going a little deeper into some more communication challenges. And I thought it would be really fun to go into this. So someone in the group here in the Thriving Marriage was saying, my spouse just ignores me. They just are giving me the silent treatment. I feel flat out ignored. And there's really nothing I can do because no matter how I try to talk to him, he just won't open up. All right. So what to do when your spouse is ignoring what you say? Well, first of all, it's an absolute myth that if your spouse is doing whatever, ignoring you or insert the blank, there's nothing you can do. That's absolutely false. You are 50% of this equation, and there is always something that you can do. When you change one part of a system, the entire system changes. It's just that we need to uncover what the patterns are that are creating this ignoring pattern or an ignoring kind of situation or whatever the pattern is for you, and then get to a new, healthier, functional pattern, okay? So here's what to do when your spouse is ignoring what you say and how you do have influence in this situation. So what happens is that ignoring happens quite frequently when tensions start to rise, because ignoring is one way of gaining control, or in some cases to protect them from harm, okay? So in cases where you feel like what you said is being ignored, the last thing that you want to do is escalate the situation. So you do not want to raise your voice. You don't want to start an argument. You don't want to nag them, scream, or attack, right? Instead, you want to be calm about it and interpret what they are communicating and then move on. Okay. So here's an example. You come to them and you say, "Hey, honey, do you want to watch this movie with me?" And the spouse, silent. After B, you say, "Okay, I'll take that as a no." So the purpose of ignoring, as I mentioned, is often to take control of a situation. It's a passive aggressive form of control, right? And while it's not healthy, it has a purpose, but it's not healthy for either of you or the relationship, right? So as such, we want to make the unhealthy behavior ineffective while offering a healthy alternative to actually meet the need. So the way to make that unhealthy behavior ineffective is by responding calmly without demanding that they answer you. And then your spouse will no longer receive the same sense of control that they have previously received from their ignoring. They'll realize that this passive aggressive way to try to get their needs met or try to get back at you or whatever really isn't working. This unhealthy pattern really isn't working anymore. You already got your answer. So ignoring is almost universally a no. So then just move on as if you already got your answer. Awesome. So if you liked this video, if you found this helpful, give me a thumbs up. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to see more videos and podcasts about how we help you save your marriage from divorce and affairs, even if your spouse is checked out, then make sure you subscribe. Next week, I will be back here with my partner, Mark Johnston, and we're going to share with you signs of an abusive relationship. There are sometimes some misconceptions about this, so make sure you do not miss it. Thank you guys for joining me, and I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.